The answer to 1984 is 76.
Hour number three coming up with our special guest. You don't want to miss it. Liz Wheeler and huge topics. Key analysis straight ahead.
InfoWars has been banned. Arrested. Attacked and threatened. Because we are effective. The Great Awakening is here. Go to band.video. Download the videos and share. Support the information war at InfoWarsStore.com. And never give up the fight.
InfoWars.com. Hi, this is Jeff with DMO Knives, and we are super excited to partner with Alex Jones for this style Breacher knife from DMO. For a limited time, our tactical Breacher, through our Alex Jones partnership, will be designed like this. We have our black over OD Cerakote, OD G10 composite handles with the following logos upon them. Betsy Ross flag over here with Alex Jones signature here. And then you flip that over and we've got Donald Trump. Fight, fight, fight. We've had these things crammed in a Humvee, prying open a door in Syria. We've shot them at the range. They have survived. They have a lifetime guarantee. So if you ever break one, we'll replace it for you to help develop the toughness and sturdy and durable and usability, along with the beauty. There's four different heat stages that we put this thing through to come up with a dual level of hardness for usability and sturdiness. It's built to never fail the operator. Made in America, by Americans, for Americans. How much stronger can you get than the DMO quarter-inch thick steel Breacher? Patriotic, strong, just like America. Again, we are super excited to team up with Alex Jones with DMO Knives for this product, which is our patriotic tactical Breacher. You can't get more patriotic than this. We can't wait to get them in your hands.
In the last 6 months, as InfoWars has been fighting for its very existence, we've had a lot of great organizations and groups reach out wanting to support us. Well, I got to tell you, Dead Moose Ops is one of the best. They put out some of the most amazing collectible limited edition knives and other amazing collectibles with folks like the Hodge Twins and so many others. These guys are bringing great products to the American people, and they're keeping some of the most important talk show hosts on the air as we win the fight against the globalists. So we've decided to come out with 500 of their best-selling limited edition knife engraved specifically for InfoWars. It's amazing. So here it is with the American flag, the original 13, Alex Jones. And it is such a storied knife. It's a special operations style knife. It's of the highest quality steel made right here in America in Arkansas. This knife cost over $115 to just produce because it's of the highest quality materials at the highest standards. And there's only 500 of these limited inscription knives with the original 13 colonies flag, commissioned by George Washington and laser inscribed with my signature, Alex Jones. This is a very important fundraiser. You know, on NPR and on PBS, you know, they get hundreds of millions of dollars of tax money every year. They will sell a coffee mug for $100, though it costs $5. And you know you're getting memento to know you supported communism and evil and the New World Order. Well, this is a knife that cost over $115 because it's such high quality. And when you get the knife and you pay the extra money to fund the operation, you are changing the world. So if you want a limited edition knife that is simply amazing, read all about it right now at dmoknives.com. It is dmoknives.com. This is a true piece of Americana, and it funds the operation. There's only 500 of this knife available. So please be part of this fundraiser and have this piece of history. Go to DMO, that's Dead Moose Operatives, but just DMO, the letters DMO, knives.com, it's on screen, and you get an additional $25 off when you use promo code Alex.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Lifeline. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now at 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
From Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
Well, the mighty Liz Wheeler, popular talk show host, great investigative journalist, joins us, LizWheeler.com, Liz_Wheeler on X. And I wanted to get her on the show, and I told her, hey, she said, what are you on about? I said, I want to hear your topics, because I love following her on X, tuning into her show, been a guest on her show a few times before. And she sent a great list of topics. J.D. Vance's weird narrative. Trump needs to move to the right, not the center. I agree with that. Kamala's a Marxist and is planning to cheat in 2024. It's already begun. Yeah, she wants to ban guns. She's got all these clips we played days ago of her saying we're going to make everybody equal. Well, you do that by chopping folks' legs off. There's no such thing. Look at Venezuela right now. But I really love the point you hone in on, Liz. It's great to have you with us, about we need to stop bowing. Thank you. To the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, they're dead. They're over. They've been dead for a long time. And stop having conservatives and populists and Christians worry about what they say. You want to be attacked by them. You want to be the rebels. You want to be the black sheep in a system where evil is running things, as George Orwell said, in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So Liz, great to have you here. I want to get all your thoughts on the assassination attempt, what's coming next, and your key point about stop letting the left and the corporate system and the globalists set the benchmark as if they're the arbiters of what we say and what we do. We want to be attacked by them. The people are ready worldwide, not just here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The J.D. Vance's weird narrative, and we're talking about it on the show today or on the show tonight. You can go to YouTube to watch that. But I don't understand why some conservatives are like, oh, no, J.D. Vance is being attacked by the left. They're calling him, gasp, God forbid, weird. Maybe Trump should have picked someone else. Like, no. This actually shows that J.D. Vance is a threat to their agenda. They wouldn't unleash these types of attacks on like Marco Rubio or an establishment figure. J.D. Vance is based. He is a conservative, Christian, white man with children, happily married, who loves God, goes to church, loves his country. And that's an existential threat to the Marxist agenda. The J.D. Vance is weird narrative should be responded to by Trump with no apologies whatsoever. They should be like, who are you calling weird? This is coming from the party that thinks men can be women, coming from the Biden administration, who had that weird cup handler luggage thief as a member in the White House, as an employee in the White House, coming from the pervs who want to give children pornography in school, coming from the sexual perverts who think that thruples and polycules are the way to go. Like, if we want to talk about weird, the Democrat Party can show us what weird is. But what Trump should do, in my opinion, this is what I've told them before, and I'm hoping that they take this strategy to heart, is the answer to this is to be based. And what I mean when I say being based is, Alex, I'm sure you've noticed this. The Democrats have something that Republicans don't have. The Democrats have a killer instinct. They want it so bad. They want victory like a shark that smells blood. They will just gut you at the very first opportunity. And in a sense, I kind of respect that. In a sense, I don't respect them committing crimes and stealing and cheating and all and lying. But in a sense, Republicans don't actually have that same killer instinct. We just have moral superiority. And I wish that Republicans would want victory as much as Democrats, because if they did, Kamala Harris is a communist. She's a Marxist. She has the most atrocious record in her public life of almost any politician I can think of. There's plenty of ammunition for Trump to be based if he chooses to do that versus scooching towards the center.
I agree. I mean, I think it was good in Milwaukee that he was magnanimous to try to bring people together. But he can do that in general for those that aren't the establishment. The establishment, he's got to level his political guns at them and destroy them politically, nonviolently. He's got to just point out that they are cancer, and they are a ravenous group of criminals using psychological warfare, behavioral psychology. They want to literally cut our daughter's breast off, cut our son's genitals off. They're a psychotic cult. And so, yeah, to these psychos, normal people look weird.
Yeah, I mean, they probably don't think that J.D. Vance is weird. They probably just focus grouped it and found that with liberal women, the word weird resonates. They can portray him as being a creepy internet guy, and that resonates with the liberal women they need to turn out to vote for Kamala. So I don't even know if they think he's weird. They just think that he's an existential threat. Listen, on my show, I talk about Antonio Gramsci all the time. I'm sure your viewers are very familiar with this Italian Marxist who wrote a book called Prison Notebooks. He was imprisoned by Mussolini, actually, in fascist Italy. And he wrote this series of notebooks observing why, when communist revolutions are successful or Marxist revolutions, why they're successful when they're successful. And he noted that most successful Marxist revolutions aren't successful because they topple the government or revolutionaries topple the government. They're successful when they achieve cultural hegemony, when they take over the culture first. That's why J.D. Vance is a threat to these Marxists, because J.D. Vance is standing for the family. Like I said, he's happily married. He with a wife. He has children. He loves God. He wants our society to be centered around what's best for the nuclear family, not just for selfish individuals. And how on earth are these Marxists supposed to take over the family and destroy it with gender ideology and feminism and globalism and selfishness if you have someone who is unwavering in their principles like J.D. Vance? Listen, I was critical, actually, mea culpa here, of J.D. Vance about a week before Trump announced him as vice presidential running mate, because I thought he was moving to the center on his abortion narrative. And I still disagree with that. But that does not take away from the fact that this man is a man of principle first, not a politician. And we have very few of those people in the United States Congress, let alone ever touching the Oval Office in the White House. So I think that's why we have all these leftists frothing at the mouth.
Well, you're right. Their hatred of him tells us all we need to know.
Yeah.
And I was struck when I met with him in, I guess like 6 weeks or 5 weeks ago in Detroit for a TPUSA action event. I spoke right before him that he was not like a politician. I went, talked to him, his green room, talked to the chief of staff, big lizards for a long time. And he just said, I said, yeah, I hear you're in the running. He goes, yeah, I got it. And when he told me, yeah, I've got it, he didn't even say, don't tell anybody. He was just such a regular guy. He knew I wouldn't even say anything about it. And so that was really, that was a big secret. And of course I kept it. Like when Joe Rogan told me 4 months before I went to Spotify that he'd already done the deal, could have insider traded, whatever. Joe trusted me. He told me, he knows that stuff's off record. But Vance didn't even say, this is off record. He said, yeah, no, I got it. And I was like, well, great. Well, once you get in, let's do this and that. And this is how Obama set up the Stay Behind Networks. He goes, yeah, here's my chief of staff, brief him. We know you're an expert on it. We want to stop the networks once we get in. And our conversation was about stopping the networks, the leftists, once Trump gets back in. How does Trump not kill them, not put them in prison, just fire their asses? We had a good discussion about that, got his chief of staff's info, and that's got to scare the deep state. Because Vance was like, by the way, you're an expert on the deep state. We want to work with you on finding out who they are. I mean, that's he should be thinking about that. He was already thinking way ahead.
Yeah, and I love to hear that, because you and I have both been talking about this for a long time. And it started out, it was actually an unpopular thing to talk about because it's wonky and boring sounding. When you talk about the administrative state, people are like, okay, nerds, what are you talking about? Employees of the federal government. But it's fortunately become a little bit more exposed for what it is, these unelected bureaucrats in federal agencies that are making laws that we are required to abide by, even though we never elect them. There's no accountability. They can't be fired. There's no way that we are going to be able to drain the swamp, as Donald Trump promised in 2016, unless we abolish the administrative state. And
well, the swamp is the permanent deep state. Exactly. It's like some weird nerd thing. Because, I mean, literally, look, there was a couple big articles out about this today where people explained, like, the good Trump people are scared to criticize the deep state. as they're being brought in for the administration, even ahead of time, because they don't want to get fired. No, they've got to go on the offense against them. Everybody knew what I was telling Trump was true. They were all just scared, other than General Flynn, Steve Bannon, myself. That's who had to then be kicked out. And I didn't want to be in the administration, but I was willing to sit there and tell him, hey, do a Google search on this lady. Do a Google search on that guy. You know, this person's on Soros's board of directors. Really, Alex? Look into that. Is that true? And boy, they went ape crap. They had a 60-minute show about me being mean to Fiona Hill and other staffers. I just sent them a report of these people did this. They said this. I'd give them, like, the person's name, three quotes attacking Trump, digital copy, links to it, and then how they work for the globalist. I mean, it's easy. We can beat these people easy, but we got to go to war with them. And going to war with them means we simply, what the left does to us, deplatforming us, we're not going to take their bank accounts. We're not going to put them, you know, in jail, unless they committed a crime, in jail. We're just going to spotlight them and remove them from government.
Well, I don't believe in this idea of political amnesty. And when I say political amnesty, I mean that someone had a bad opinion about a political issue, say they were a never Trumper, and then all of a sudden when it becomes politically expedient for them, they want to be on Team Trump. That is, to me, a sign that that person is pursuing power, a sign that the person is not a principled person. And I'll give you an example here. I think that the Trump campaign right now is still suffering from some of these deep staters trying to infiltrate into his inner circle, giving him bad advice. We see all this drama about Project 2025. Well, who's whispering in President Trump's ear telling him that Project 2025 is bad? Who's giving him false information? Why are they trying to move him away from this project, which would, the policy recommendations in Project 2025 would help drain the swamp once the Trump administration gains the White House again? Well, could it be that one of his campaign managers, it was previously a never Trumper, was previously an advocate of jailing the protesters that were outside the Capitol on January 6th? Why is this person so near to Donald Trump? Why does this person have Donald Trump's ear? I understand. I don't necessarily blame Donald Trump for this. I just think when you're vetting people around you, you have to be ruthless. You can't say,
absolutely, absolutely. But I've got like 50 employees and they're all loyal. They're great.
Yeah.
If they weren't on my side, they could screw me over really quick. And some have tried. They're gone now. Some infiltrators. But I'm not disagreeing with you, Liz Wheeler, but it's a paradox. 8 years ago, J.D. Vance is anti-Trump. He wakes up and then for 8 years is pro-Trump, has a good track record. Trump trusts him. So I agree that some newly flipped anti-Trumper to Trump we can't trust. But there's also a paradox there. Like Musk was never an anti-Trumper, but now he's come over to our side. So we've got to also look at what they produced and what they've stood for since then. You know, you judge a tree by its fruit.
Here's how I tell if something, because I'm a practicing Christian, a Catholic Christian. I believe in conversion, of course, and redemption. But there's a way that you can tell whether someone has had a conversion and redemption or whether they are just playing the politically expedient game. And that is, are they willing to talk about it? Do they actually say, here's my conversion story? Think of anybody from David Horowitz, who was like, yeah, I used to be a communist radical. Here's what changed my mind. To even Donald Trump on abortion. You know, back when he was a Hollywood celebrity, he was pro-abortion. Then he said, actually, I had a friend who got a woman pregnant, had the child was born. And he was like, oh my goodness, I can't be pro-abortion anymore. I realized what this actually means. Well, that's the same with J.D. Vance. He talks about, yeah, I was wrong about that. Here's why. Here's what changed my mind. I mean, like every other
Liz,
person.
You're totally right. They've
got
to come out.
To give someone a second chance if they prove themselves.
I agree. This isn't some communist struggle session or some, truth commission, but if you are converted to the truth, you're going to have the fact that you're speaking out about it.
Yeah. You're going to want to tell people that story because you're going to want it to resonate with other people like you. It's like my own conversion from being more libertarian-minded of a conservative to now being a huge proponent of ordered liberty. Libertarianism doesn't work. I used to think that anything that the government did that encroached on your individual liberty was bad. We couldn't do that. We couldn't have any kind of religion in government. Even conservative principles couldn't be tinged at all with moral beliefs. Now I realize that's stupid. And so I talk about that all the time because I want people who thought the way that I thought to now think the way that I think, understanding that actually our government is built on the idea of morality, and not morality as defined by people, but morality as it's been given to us by God, and not a theocracy, but just a government that is ordered on natural law. So, like I said, I'm all about conversion and redemption, but the standard that I use to judge whether someone's redemption is real or not is whether they're just excited, just dying to talk to you about it.
Well, I mean, yeah, the left doesn't understand this. 25 years ago, I admitted that when I was really young, I took part in abortions, and I thought it was just a blob, and I believed the lies, and I was a teenager, and I did it. Later, God touched my heart, and I repented, and I tell the story all the time about it was wrong, the most valuable thing in my life, my children. I have four children now. Couldn't imagine doing that now. I couldn't imagine doing it since I was like 18. I've not been involved in abortions since I was like 18, but God touched my heart. And the left goes, you're a hypocrite. You were involved in abortions, and now you're against them. No, it's the opposite. I admit I'm wrong. I admit I sinned. I've repented, and now I've stood up against abortion and protested it hundreds of times and had hundreds and hundreds of anti-abortion guests on, and I'm not saying I'm a great guy, but I've definitely balanced out killing a few of my children versus the hundreds of thousands we probably saved, and I'm not saying I'm a hero, but I've definitely gone the right, and I want to tell that. I want to say I was wrong. I want to not just be like, oh, you're going to hell. You had an abortion. I'm judging you. I'm like, no, God can forgive you, and I tell that story because that's on my heart. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's the biblical principle of using evil for good. God can turn anything bad into something good if we allow him to give us the grace to do that. And that's the same sort of principle I like to apply to the government. Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of these deep state actors, these politicians, I don't think they have principles to begin with, let alone conversion stories or redemption stories. And that's, I guess, the deep staters that surround Trump here. I mean, I personally think he should be so base when he gets back in the White House that he should essentially fire most federal workers and start over from scratch. I think most of these agencies should be completely abolished, not just the Department of Education, not just the CDC and the FDA. I think most of them should be completely raised and then very, very small, only necessary functions farmed out to agencies that can prove that they were never abusive to our rights as American citizens. I'm not sure that there is a federal agency that qualifies, that there is a federal agency that could stand before us and say, Alex, Liz, I have not violated your rights at any point.
Maybe the Coast Guard. All right.
Maybe. I mean, the military is so woke at this point. I'm not even sure they could make that argument.
Well, no. I mean, no. They've had the rest of the military involved domestically, and they do the worst stuff to the military itself. So the military grassroots is great, in my experience, best people. But as you go up, obviously evil wants power. So at the top, it's been the worst thing we've got. So let's go into a paradox here, because I'm in a little bit of a disadvantage. You know, both my grandmothers, incredibly smart, learned, taught me so much. Amazing people that both would have been amazing political leaders if they wanted to be, but they didn't want to be. And both my grandfather's amazing, my mother amazing, my dad amazing. So I grew up around really empowered, smart women because that's what they came from, the American ethos. But then I look at the statistics of single white women, particularly almost 70% voting Democrat, and these studies that keep coming out where it's women in general, but white women in general. I think the state's their father, the state's their brother, the state's their husband, and they defend it. And I see quotes like this, crazy MSNBC political analyst claims J.D. Vance wants more white children, ignores his three mixed race kids. MSNBC political analyst Molly Joy claimed during an episode of The Morning Joe that Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance just wants more white children. Well, he said we need to empower women to have children and think about how powerful that is if they want to. But he also, I've read his book and read his speeches and talked to him and seen his clips. He said we're depopulating, just like Elon Musk said. So he just said in general we should honor motherhood and honor family and honor children instead of trying to mutilate them and destroy them. She turns that into you want more white kids as if more white kids or any kids is bad. This is so sick. Here's a clip.
There, more and more Americans choosing not to have kids, which again emphasizes why J.D. Vance's comments right. about childless Americans, childless cat ladies, right. could be so politically damaging.
Well, so what's interesting is this natalism that comes from an authoritarian playbook, right? That there need to be more white children, right? That's the idea that there's, this is about great replacement theory racism, right? This is what this is. So don't misunderstand it for him wanting more children. He wants a certain kind of, racist thing.
I can show you
a lot of amazing.
All right. I can show you a whole bunch of clips of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, all of them saying we're getting rid of white people. That's a good thing. So they're the ones that make it anti-white. But then Vance just says we should honor the family and honor mothers and honor children. And then she turns it into a white thing. And it's just so transparent what they're doing, and it's totally blowing up in their face. And I don't know this woman, but I want to bet she probably doesn't have any children. And it's true. The statistics show it. The average woman that buys into leftism by about 40 tries to reject it, tries to have children, or they're lesbians and they have the CPS go kidnap Christian children, you know, and then give them to them. And so they're like hunting us. You know, they're not following the regular biological system. And I'm not attacking people because they're homosexual. That's between you and God. My point is that you're force feeding this on us. You're like hunting us like Planet of the Apes, rounding us up to farm us. And then J.D. Vance says we should have more children, and you spin it into race. I mean, these are just disgusting people. What do you say to this lady?
It is. Well, it is disgusting too. I mean, I just gave birth 4 months ago, so I can tell you firsthand that children are the most wonderful thing. Every parent knows this, that your life is just never the same after you have a child, because there's nothing more fulfilling than shepherding this soul and these sweet little babies. I could, you know, gush and rave about my children all day long here. And the point of it is that this woman's missing out. This is what feminism does to women. If you look at that woman, Molly Jong Fast, she's a perfect example of this radical Marxist feminist narrative and how it warps and twists women.
Well, think about it. A woman is literally made as the center of the human community to create the next generation, and everything and every animal system is based around reproduction. It's what we are. And they're literally rejecting who they are and then mad at us because we have been part of it and experienced. Nothing compares to children and the love of children other than the Holy Ghost. I mean, it goes God, children, and then your wife. And I'm a man, so as you said, your husband. It goes God, children, and your wife. I mean, there's nothing even compares to that.
No, there's nothing compares to it. But this is the thing, though. This feminist idea that you have to have a career to be empowered, that you have to be sexually promiscuous to be liberated, that you should reject children so that you can have luxury and convenience. This creates bitter, agenda-driven, unhappy women who can't stand other women seeking fulfillment in their womanhood, right? And the reason for this is because feminism, if you go back, and I'm sure you have, I'm sure your viewers have,
the CIA,
and read the
Gloria
original
Steinem
documents of feminism, it's Marxist stuff. They have to go after the family unit because a free society is never going to be able to stand unless it's built on the nuclear family, unless that's the bulwark of a free society. So it's the first thing, man. They go after masculinity. Women, they go after femininity. Children, they try to kill children. And if they don't succeed in butchering them in the womb, then they butcher them with gender ideology. They have to destroy marriage, the family, and children in order to do this cultural hegemony thing where they take over the culture first before they topple the governmental institutions.
Well, that's right. And I'm not proud of the fact I got divorced. My ex-wife divorced me. I had three children with her, and I have another child with my second wife, who's amazing. But both my ex-wife and my current wife at Whole Foods or other places have been confronted many times by angry women, particularly my ex-wife. They would get jealous that she had three children with her. They would get pissed and say, why are you having so many kids? They literally envy it. They hate it.
They do, because there's an innate biological and spiritual desire in every woman to have children, to nurture children. It's an eternal calling. It's not just something on earth. It is the way that we are larger than ourselves. The way that we seek eternity is through shepherding these souls through this life. And so these women, they can tamp it down. They can warp it. They can destroy it. They can abort their children. They can pretend like children are just inconvenient, whatever. It's all a lie. And these women know it. You know what's interesting, Alex? Is this is something positive that I see in Gen Z. I don't often have positive things to say about Gen Z, but one of the things that I've noticed is young Gen Z women specifically are starting to reject the feminist narrative. They're starting to say, wait a second, this 9-to-5 career that you prioritize over getting married, that you never have children, that you abort children, that you don't do any of your own housework, you don't create a home for your family, this isn't fulfilling. We don't like this.
Wheeler. Let's come back and get back into this. We're interrupted by a break. Let's explain this, because the statistics show it. And then even the millennials are anti-abortion now on average. And it's incredible. There's a big shift happening and the deep state's panicking. Stay with us.
Take a look at what happened.
On July 13th, 2024. The deep state took a shot, not just at Donald Trump, but at America and our republic. But by the grace of God, God's hand was on Donald Trump, and by just millimeters, he survived. Ladies and gentlemen, the deep state, Google, all the big tech companies other than X, have been trying to suppress this image. They've been trying to suppress everything about the assassination. But it is so important that we support President Trump and we support the InfoWar that defends and support Trump by getting this iconic shirt. It takes that incredible fight, fight, fight image, and it says never surrender. Under it and on the back, it says the answer to 1984 is 1776 with my signature. Now, this is brought to you by one of the top Patriot apparel makers in America, and they partnered with us and they print the shirts and everything right there in Arkansas. So these are ready to ship right now.
We love you!
Yes! President Trump had 8 shots fired at him, killing one man, critically wounding 2 others, and grazing his ear. He immediately popped back up and said, fight, 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 which translates to never surrender, never back down, never give up. But it takes the exercise of free speech and the financial support in a fight to save our republic. And InfoWars is recognized as the tip of the spear. And right now, we are in a funding crisis and need your support. So I have a 360 win. Get this amazing never surrender Trump fight, fight, fight shirt with the answer to 1984, 1776, and my signature on the back, a historic memento, and wear it proudly in public, and you'll probably get, it's what I've experienced, 95% love. You may have some leftists try to physically attack you as well, but it's an adventure to wear this shirt. I've been wearing it out in public, and it's been amazing, and you really see the grassroots support that President Trump has around the country, not just in red cities, red towns, and red states. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a critical juncture for the republic, and now is the time to wear our colors loud and proud. The red, white, and blue, with President Trump raising his fist defiantly to the New World Order. Go to holdtheline.com and use promo code Alex, and you get additional 10% off. By wearing this shirt in public, you raise your fist in defiance with President Trump and myself and many others, the globalist tyranny, and say, we will never surrender to the New World Order. And the answer to your tyranny is 1776. We will never surrender. We will fight, fight, fight. Because the answer to 1984 is 1776. Fight. Fight. Fight.
They lied about Joe Biden's health. They lied about Russian collusion and COVID. They lied about Hunter's laptop. And they lied about January 6th. They lied about the Ukraine and Jeffrey Epstein and Hollywood and everything in between. And now they want you to believe that this guy acted alone. Stop believing their bullshit. Everything they tell you is a lie.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
So, I don't get a lot of hate. When Trump first got elected, I got maybe, 10% hate, 90% love. But now it's like a month might go by before I get attacked or somebody yells at me. But I was going to pick up my 7-year-old daughter from camp Sunday with my wife, and we pulled into a little Italian restaurant in Austin before we drove out to the hill country to get her. And this woman, probably 60 years old, came and sat down next to us. Her husband hadn't come in yet. And she sat down and looked at me like she wanted to kill me. She starts shaking her head, heavy breathing, staring at me. And then her husband comes over. They sit down. She says, I don't know if I can eat with him here. And like literally this woman thinks I'm the devil. I didn't lie about WMDs. I didn't open the borders up. I didn't ship in fentanyl and everything. But to her, she's an old white woman. She thinks I'm Satan incarnate. And so since we've got popular talk show host Liz Wheeler here, who's, on this beat, and as a woman and a mother, I want to get her take on it because these studies come out all the time. Leftists, 9 times more likely to steal, 7 times more likely to lie about you, to file fake reports. You know, the studies are in Europe, they're in Canada, they're here. Basically the same numbers, you know, 7 to 10 times more likely to claim they're giving to charity, they're not. I mean, leftists are losers, and they bought into the system, and it's not working for them, so they're pissed. So look at this new study. It's a big Gallup study, top polling agency. Over 50% of liberal white women under 30 have a mental health issue. Are we worried yet? They want to be a victim, so they opt in. Something like 30% of them are on drugs, prescription psychotropics, antipsychotics, antidepressants. Over 50% of liberal white women under 30 have a mental health issue. Well, that's because they're not happy. Here's the family studies from Gallup. Parenting is the key to adolescent mental health. And it's a huge report on this, and it gets into all that. I got the other reports here on women. Has a doctor or other healthcare provider ever told you that you have a mental health condition? 50%. 56%, actually. So what is going on with women? And, you know, they say the definition of mental illness is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Here's another one off the same study. U.S. women have become more liberal, men mostly stable. So they're Stockholmed by the lockdowns and the mask. And because, quite frankly, women on average, some women are, like Joan of Arc or, there's so many examples, are leaders and want to be leaders. And that's great. We put the women leaders on the ear, but most women don't seek that. They're trying to find people for community. They're not Margaret Thatcher. Most men aren't. And then they get sucked into a thing that's designed with psychological warfare to abuse them. Liz Wheeler, do you agree with that? And if so, how do we get women who on average are obviously 80% of advertising targets women? Because they know, Hitler said, first you get the women, then you got the children, so follow the men. Advertising, you go take basic advertising. I only took it like at community college, then quit because, I was already successful in business when I was like 19. It was all about targeting women, 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 80% of advertising targeting women. How do you get women to realize they're targeted? And maybe these big corporations and BlackRock and CNN and MTV and Netflix aren't their friends. I mean, can't they get like they've been doing something that's not making them happy? Maybe there's something else. Can you speak to this?
Yeah, I think I saw those same headlines this morning, and I actually did laugh at one of the headlines when it says men mostly stable, but women with mental health issues. It's just a funny headline. I do think that women are the victim of psychological manipulation. This is not to say that there are not real mental health issues. Depression and anxiety are real in many cases. Personality disorders, schizophrenia are real, especially after you smoke marijuana. But I think oftentimes women are told by our culture, by influencers online, by talk show hosts, by schools, by universities, that every problem or period of adversity in their life gives them some kind of trauma that should be a diagnosis. And then once they're given this diagnosis, they are basically taught to be narcissists. They are taught that everything is about them, and anything that they don't like, anything that they don't agree with, anything that bothers them, anything difficult is toxic and that they should cut it out. And the reason that the left engages in
and that's how you feed. Sorry, you're dead on. That's how you feed delusion is not facing problems.
Well, it's isolating to them.
Yeah.
It isolates them so that they fall prey to these narratives, that the feminist narratives that we were talking about before, that you need to pursue a career instead of making a home, that you should kill your child to be empowered, that to be liberated is to be sexually promiscuous. Even though we all know studies show that these things are harmful for women, they lead to, suicidality. It increases in women when they abort their children. We know that career breeds depression and anxiety in women. If you want to talk about these mental health issues, it's begot of the real ones are begot of this cultural indoctrination that they face. And the not so real ones are just a way of isolating any kind of dissenting voices around women that might say, hey, listen, if you're not happy, don't buy into the liberal narrative. Go ahead and be who God created you to be. And it's been going on for generations. I don't know the answer to how we save women who have been fully indoctrinated, but I do know that we have a lot of options for how to prevent the next generation of women from falling prey to this.
I agree.
You've seen the parents' rights movements, homeschool your children, raise them, don't let them be on TikTok. These are real avenues that parents should take very seriously to protect your young daughter from becoming one of these women.
Well, let me just tell you my experience as a man growing up in Texas with both my grandfathers working, grandma's not working. My grandmother was a school teacher sometimes, but she was, you know, running the house and taking care of my grandfather and was pretty much, you know, in charge of the real reality of running the home, which is the most important thing. But I saw the men extremely focused, extremely stressed, literally dying young to support their family. And then I saw the women as happy as with their children and their life and their friends over and everything they were doing. And I'm not saying men against women. I'm just saying men go and die in war, and we run the nuclear reactors, and they go down in the manholes, and it's like what our biology does. We want to serve women, and now men are in shambles, not wanting women. Look at Japan; other places are great examples, but they're extreme examples. Men are falling away now and staying like Peter Pan adolescents, and saying I'm done. So men have a crisis too. They're just not so much playing into the victim; they're just rotting. So this is a real spiritual biological weapon that's been detonated against us.
It is, and I wouldn't underestimate the war on men. It's extremely serious. It's just the way that you target women is different than the way that you target men. Men are told that they are inherently evil. They're told that they're essentially born to be rapists unless it's trained out of them. They're told that their desire to protect and provide and procreate is somehow toxic. It's somehow patriarchal in the feminist way that they use that term. And this has caused an incredible crisis among men in our nation. I mean, most of our social institutions are formed in a way that are a disservice to men, from our school systems to the way that men are kept behind desks from 9 to 5 rather than being outside and building and creating. And the result of this, you can see in statistics, you can see the number of suicides among men increasing, the number of men who are getting married decreasing. The traditional good, right, and proper aspects of masculinity are under assault. I mean, if you're a man on a college campus right now and you face a false accusation from some chick who didn't like the way that you looked at her, you basically are denied due process of law. Alex, I've said this before on my show and I'll say it again. I am frightened for the men in my life, the men that I know, the men who watch this show, because it is a landmine out there. It is a field of landmines. You so much as walk by a woman who is having a bad day, she says something negatively about you, you could be canceled, you could be fired, you could be publicly humiliated, your life could be absolutely ruined, or you could be prosecuted, not even in a court of law, but on a college campus with the same sort of criminal repercussions. Femininity is under attack and it's awful. Masculinity is also under attack. And yet it's just politically incorrect to stand up for those men.
That's right. And men shouldn't play into the victim thing. We should just stand up in our own biology. But we're one species together. So let me raise this. I'm not an ornithologist and I'm not a Desmond Morris animal behaviorist, but I have read a lot of the books and studied it. It's fascinating. So I've read hundreds of books on the subject. In almost every species, particularly birds, the female has to sit there on a nest, and she has to sit there for like a month or longer. So the species doesn't exist if the male doesn't bring her food. It's not that she's his slave. It's that he biologically is designed, and in the courtship, say, of cardinals, he shows the female how much food he can bring her, and she says, yes, you're good. You're going to bring me food. I can now sit here, have these eggs, have our babies, and continue the species. It isn't like some cultural thing. It is what we do. So that's why men bring women chocolates or flowers and so many other species, not just mammals, but birds and others. The males bring gifts to the females because the female has to then, which is a great honor, obviously, she loves it, she has to produce the energy to produce the babies. She has to sit in one spot. So you look at that at the bird level, you accelerate it up to us. They're attacking our basic biology.
That's pretty much how I feel when I'm pregnant. I pretty much feel like I'm sitting in the nest and that I would perish, and so would the rest of humanity if my husband doesn't bring me food. So that, I think that's an accurate analogy here. But again, I mean, we can talk about all these different examples of the way that family and men and women and children are attacked, but it all comes down to why. Why are they being attacked? They're being attacked because the ideology of Marxism, which is a satanic ideology, hates the nuclear family, hates marriage, hates men and women because we're made in God's image, hates children because children are a representation of God's love for us. They hate it. They want to destroy it. And I guess the second question should be, how do we fight back against this?
Yes.
This is why I don't think we should be compromising. I think that we should be incredibly based. We should be, in a sense, politically savage, standing up for what's right. And again, I know this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, but this is why one of the reasons I was so excited when J.D. Vance was announced as Trump's vice presidential running mate, because I think he understands what we're talking about today. He's not just taking a right-wing position because he decided to be part of the Republican Party. He understands what it means.
Well, absolutely. I want to get back into your point of Trump needs to move to the right or towards humanity even more. That is the answer. That's what people want. But again, across the animal kingdom, you have teams, and the male and the female work together, and it's different to species, but generally, it's not like the male is a slave or the female is a slave. This is what we are. It's not even a discussion. And when anybody attacks that, like a male eagle or a falcon bringing food to his mate, they love each other. They mate for life. They've got babies, and that's a team. That's not sick. That's not slavery. That's how they were born. That's how they live.
Yeah, it's complementary roles. It's complementary roles. It's how we were made, and it's also how men and women are the happiest. You know, I guess building on the studies that you showed about mental health earlier, if you want to talk about when men are the happiest, healthiest, have the longest life, have the least likelihood of getting cancer or having a heart attack or committing suicide, well, it's married men. Men are who are serving their role as husband and father. The same with women. Women who are the most fulfilled, who are the happiest being women, who have the least mental health issues, who smile the most, and
you are following your biology.
Married women.
You're following what you're supposed to do.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And then these leftist women with purple hair or whatever, they're trying to reject your humanity. We don't hate you. And we're not mad that you couldn't, some of you couldn't get a man, you're whatever. We're not judging single moms, any of that. We're just saying there's a way to go here, and we're just simply promoting what works.
That's right. I mean, that's why I think the video that you showed earlier of Molly Jong Fast on, I think it was MSNBC, I see videos like that. And if you look at the comments underneath, there are a lot of people that are like, haha, who would want to marry you? Or good thing you're not bringing children into the world. And well, I have a different reaction to that. I told you, I'm pretty based. I'm pretty savage about politics. I think that she's promoting something that is anti-humanity when she calls having children natalism, like it's some kind of twisted ideology to want to have a baby with your husband. That's weird. And not like they're calling J.D. Vance weird. But I actually feel sorry for her, because her existence on Earth is going to be what? Going on MSNBC? What about eternity? What about the things that actually matter? And going on TV is not the things that actually matter. We go on TV, you and I, Alex, to fight for the things that actually matter so that we get a chance to enjoy them. So I actually feel compassion for women like that, because I think they're really missing their experience of humanity.
Well, I've got four children, and I've been around a lot of women with children, and women, you know, this, you've got children, they're high as a kite with their children. And women sitting around cooking food, the house all together, you look at them, they're like in bliss. And it's like trying to say that's evil is sick.
It is. And by the way, I love your viewers. I'm watching the comments in the live stream as we talk. And somebody was like, well, who has your children while you're working? Actually, this is, and I talk about this quite often, and I want to share this. I identify as a stay-at-home mom who does this on the side. I don't work in an office 9 to 5. My kids are in the other room. My husband's watching them while they nap. So that I can talk to you, Alex, because we have a properly ordered house, and that is the way that we're the happiest. Our marriage is properly ordered. We are delighted and happy to be to have two wonderful daughters. And I do advocate, I'm not just saying that because it's something that we've discovered or that's good for me. This is who God created us to be, all of us, bar none. This idea, and this gets philosophical for a second, but natural law is not something that just I believe because I happen to be Christian. Natural law is something that governs all of us. And natural law says men and women belong together to create babies, to have families, and it's the bulwark of a free society. Period.
Well, Liz, let me expand on that, because
politicians to advocate for this.
Absolutely. You've got the Muslims at the other extreme make their wives wear beekeeper suits and won't let them leave the house. That's not Western culture. That's not Christianity. Let's be clear. My grandfather was in county government, helped people. He also was a foreman on building highways and everything else. And when he was 200 miles away building a highway and they had the apples come in or they had the corn come in, my grandmother took my uncle and my dad out and she would, with the farmhands, direct them and then cook them lunch. It doesn't mean that because a woman is home taking care of the kids that she isn't writing the checks, that she isn't making the decisions when all major issues. They're unified. There wasn't my grandmother and my grandfather fighting. They were one team. It was beautiful to watch. And so she would go out and say, hey, the blackberries are in. Let's walk the fence lines and get huge baskets of blackberries. And then she'd make pies and give the neighbors some. And it was all there. It wasn't like, what's a woman doing on the back of a horse shooting a gun? You talk about feminists. The average feminist can't even, just like the average leftist man, can't wipe their ass. The women I knew in Texas were like, could shoe a horse and butcher a deer, but they could put on a dress too and go to church and teach Sunday school. And so the idea that you don't go out and culturally fight some while your husband works and then your children, no, it's a mix of things. It's we don't attack the biological role and say it's bad, but like there's some women that are going to be generals or astronauts because that's their genetics. That's what they're going to do. That's a different percentage. Women can do what they want. We don't block them. But the idea that once a woman says she's conservative, she's a homemaker, well, now she can't drive a car. That's not what conservatives say. It's the opposite. Our women know how to shoot guns. They know how to do jujitsu. All the conservative women I know are better looking, smarter, tougher, totally independent compared to what a feminist are, these basket cases freaking out, scared of their own shadows.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think conservatives fall prey to the battle of the sexes that the left tries to instill, where they try to make it seem like men and women are always fighting, that they're always competing, that they're trying to outdo each other. That's not been my experience in my marriage. We are complementary. We are one. And we work together for the same goals, to provide and love for our family, to make each other.
And
whole.
How empowering is that? Exactly. It's one unit. Once you get that sync, yeah. How amazing is that?
It's amazing. We're about to have our 7-year wedding anniversary, and it's been the best 7 years of my life. I couldn't speak more highly of marriage or of my husband. I absolutely adore him and respect him and am so happy being married to him. But this is also, I think, why when we're talking about human nature or reality, which is what you and I are discussing right now, and how it applies to politics, we need to be able to say conservatives, Republicans, even the Trump campaign needs to be able to look at Kamala Harris and not allow the left to define what a quote unquote women's
issue. Don't define.
Is.
They shouldn't have the moral high ground. Say you don't do the definitions.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't say, oh, a woman, you're a woman, so you must be most interested in birth control. You must be most interested in your ability to access an abortion. No, they should look at Kamala Harris and be like, Kamala Harris is dangerous for women. With this open border, these illegal aliens, these criminals, cartel members, MS-13, terrorists are coming in and they are wreaking havoc on our cities, on our neighborhoods, on the homes that we are trying to create for our families. I did an episode of my show on Monday where I talked about some of the previously deported illegal aliens, meaning they came here illegally. The Trump administration deported them. And then the Biden administration, the Kamala Biden administration, admitted that they brought these previously deported illegal aliens back into the United States. And they committed crimes like murder and rape, sexual assault, battery, these awful, graphic, gruesome crimes that caught people.
Oh, my God. There were like 100 knife attacks the last 3 days in Europe. In one, they stabbed three little girls to death. There's riots in England. Ugh. I mean, it is so screwed up.
It is, but we should be able to look at Kamala Harris and be like, stop talking about abortion and talk about the women. Say the names of the women who were murdered by the criminal aliens that you allowed back in the country because you encouraged them to come here and you refused to secure the border. I promise you that will resonate with women because no one wants to live in a country, in a city, in a neighborhood where we fear that happening to ourselves or our daughters.
No, I agree. So, and not all the Islamics, but the main Orthodox Islam, everybody knows women are powerful in the center of everything. And so you have Islam enslaves women to control them because of the power of them. You have the left that wants to enslave them under the state, under their system. But Christianity in the West is actually in the middle, which is freedom and empowerment of the family and empowerment of everybody. And so we can't be on one end of the spectrum or the other. We have to actually go with the reality and promote that.
We do. And what's interesting, and this is going back to my conversion story away from libertarianism, is I used to think that our country was set up along the principles of John Locke, or sort of like the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, that it was individual liberty, that we acknowledged a creator, but then we just stuck to keeping as much liberty as possible to prevent anarchy only, but giving individual people the power to do whatever they wanted, whatever they chose, whatever their conscience dictated or not. basically license, not liberty. And I realized that actually our country was never set up that way. The Declaration of Independence was written with that kind of philosophical or ideological bent. But actually, we were created as a nation towards ordered liberty, which is not only acknowledging a creator, but acknowledging a moral order. And our founding fathers were extremely clear that if we did not order our society towards the greater good, and not just this vague idea of the greater good, this vague idea of human rights that, you know, leftists give us, but actually ordered towards good and truth and beauty as defined by God, defined by the Christian religion, then our society would fall. We would not be a free country, because you cannot have a libertarian nation that exists, that continues to exist. What happens is it breeds anarchy or Marxism. It allows for it because politicians are too afraid to say, actually, drag queen story hour is evil and we should ban it. They're too afraid of being like, But is it violating free speech, instead of acknowledging the immorality of it?
Well, that's right. The left claims the right wing's banning books. No, we're banning giving 5-year olds pedophile books. We're not banning the book.
That's right.
We're not banning Hustler. We're just not giving it to a 3-year old. And so that's what's happening. Well, amazing. In closing, we have 60 seconds left. Liz Wheeler, everybody should find your work at Liz_Wheeler on X and LizWheeler.com with your popular talk show. Trump, the Tippit assassination, what's your prediction real fast going into this unprecedented time?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Alex. I really appreciate it. You guys can subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/LizWheeler2 to watch my show, and I'd love to see you all there. Listen, the Trump assassination attempt is one of the shadiest things that we've seen. I don't want to live in a country where I believe that this is an inside job. I don't want to live in a country where I believe that a government agency tried to kill a former president and presidential candidate. But all of the red flags, if we follow the evidence, all of these red flags really do beget the question, what happened here? Can this really be explained by just government incompetence? I mean, sure, government is incompetent, but really to this level, I don't know if you saw that video that was recently released. They had a shot of Trump, and beyond Trump in the background, you can see the shooter walking along the roof. There is no way Secret Service did not see that. No way.
90
whatsoever.
Minutes. They were protecting him. They were ordered to. They're caught.
Yeah. And I think if they believe it's politically expedient, and that's key, then it's going to happen again.
Oh, of course. Oh, look at that. Look at that. And everybody's pointing.
It's
He's there. Oh, my God. They thought they'd get him. Well, that just shows God's on our side. If you were the New World Order, you got to be crapping Tiffany cufflinks right now.
Yeah, I would be. I would be. I mean, it's there. I think that Trump seemed during his RNC acceptance speech, or during the nomination acceptance speech, he seemed like really touched by the experience, like he'd been deeply impacted, like he'd maybe met God in a way that he hadn't ever met God before. And I hope that that's the case, because he was correct when he said it was the hand of Almighty God that protected him. That is exactly what it was. And I pray for our country. I believe in the power of prayer. I will be praying from now until Election Day. And I'll also be fighting like heck against the left, who's already begun to cheat. They've already been using the mainstream media to stage a coup against Joe Biden, to anoint Kamala Harris with no votes as the nominee for their party, to try to demonize J.D. Vance, to demonize Trump to the point that it allowed, or it radicalized someone to the point that this, you know, this crazy shooter took a shot, tried to assassinate the president of the United States. I mean, the steal has already begun, because they are already cheating. And if we just sit back and say, oh, we should be polite, we got to be civil.
No, that's all got to end. Liz Wheeler, amazing job. Thank you so much. And the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts, our immune systems, our vitality. It's so important, but not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. And by just going to that link, no promo code has to be put in, nothing. You get 25% off right off the top by going there. Now, it would take me 20 minutes to tell you everything about this amazing product, but you need to go read about it for yourself. And this is what I call a total 360 win. It's the highest quality, it's a great price, and it supports the InfoWar. OptimalHuman.com/Alex, 25% off right off the top, and it funds the InfoWar and empowers your body, your stamina, your energy, your health. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to OptimalHuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto, other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.